Today's shiur, Maseches Sanhedrin, Daf Chof Beis. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. As we open our shiur on Daf Chof Beis, we notice on the sixth line from the top a triangle that appears in the text around Rebbe's name, and also in the space to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text, a number 2. That indicates that we're in the middle of a series. As you know very well, in our marking system, all the geometric forms play the same role, and that is to present a series of whatever. In this case, the series began on the previous Amud, on Chof Aleph Amud Beis, and we featured in the Mivneh heading on the outside margin, Deos Tanoim B'inyan Ksav Loshon, the series of opinions regarding the script and the language in which the Torah was given. We continue here on Chof Beis Amud Aleph with a Tanaic source that extends into the wide lines. As you can see, you have a framed section, which is standard procedure in our marking system. We saw in the previous sukya how Rabbi Yossi presented Ezra HaSofer as being a great personality, someone through whom the Torah could have even been given had not Moshe Rabbeinu come before him. But nevertheless, through Ezra, we see, according to Rabbi Yossi, that the script of the Torah underwent a change. As we continue here with Shitas Rebbe, Rebbe Omer, B'tchilo B'ksav Ze Nitno Torah L'Yisrael. That means at the very beginning, the Torah was given in the times of Moshe Rabbeinu, B'ksav Ashuris. K'von Shechotu Nefach Lohen L'Royetz. But when they sinned, the text turned into a different form, a form called Roetz. Before we continue in the Gemara, let us glance at Rashi on the fourth line from the top. B'ksav Ze Nitno Torah L'Yisrael B'Yimei Moshe. V'loma Loi Kaholin Ksava L'Mikra. Why is it that in the time of Doniel, during the Golos Bavel, in the story of the handwriting on the wall, it mentions in the Pasuk that the Ksav could not be understood, when in fact this was the original Ksav that was given to Am Yisrael? Since between the time of the receiving of the Torah and this incident in the time of Doniel, during the years of Bayis Rishon, the first temple period, the Jewish people were mevazed the Torah, embarrassed and belittled the Torah. Nefach lehem l'royetz, loshem tirat soyev, it turned into a broken type of script. And the point is, sheshokchuhu, that they forgot the original script. Hence, in the time of Daniel, that which was originally known to them had already been forgotten. Continuing in the Gemara, in the Tanaic source, we just read in the Rashi, and that's what this text says, Kimot Shechotu, since they sinned in the time of Rishon, Nepach Lohem L'Roetz, it became broken. Kevon Shechozru Bohen, once they did Tshuva, Hechziru Lohem, the original text was returned to them, the Ksav Ashuris, Shenamar Shuvu Lebitzaron, Asire Hatikva, Gam Hayom Magin Mishna Oshiv Loch. The idea behind the Pasuk, Shuvu Lebitzaron, come back to your fortified city, come back to Jerusalem. Rashi says, Gam hayoim magid mishnah, ma sheshochachta es mishnah haturazos, that which you forgot, Rashi continues, oshiv loch, achzir loch, ma sheshochachta es mishnah haturazos, I will return to you this Torah. Continuing in the Gemara, Lama Nikra Shmash. Notice we have a diamond around this expression. This is because the expression appeared already in the source on the upper part of the page, and on the outside margin we had already indicated Lama Nikra Ashuras. This expression appears twice, hence we featured it. Why is it called Ashuras according to this approach? Shemu'usheres biksav, because it's considered a strong or an important type of script, as opposed to a broken, ratchety script. Notice how this approach to the term Ashuras is different than that which appeared above. In the previous source, it was called Ksav Ashuras because it came from Ashur, came from the exile in Ashur. Here, it's a reference to the quality of the script as opposed to place. Rabbi Shimon ben Elozer Omer Mishum Rabbi Eliezer ben Prota Shomar Mishum Rabbi Elozer Hamodoi Ksav Ze Lo Nishtane Kol Iker. This Ksav underwent no changes. Notice this is a third opinion to the issue of the script. Shneamar Vove Huamudim. The pasuk in describing the Mishkan says Vove Huamudim Ma Amudim Lo Nishtanu Af Vovim Lo Nishtanu. Just like the pillars or the foundations, Rashi explains, Vove ha'amudim are yesedois kesef asuim kemin unklos. These are connecting or foundation devices made of silver. Shvekovum ba'amudim shebohem tochvim lulaois kloi hachotzer v'hamosoch. These are attached to the poles that served as the devices that held up the curtains surrounding the courtyard of the Mishkan. These different devices look like the letter Vav. The idea behind this pasuk is that the Vav letter is similar to the Vav, which was attached to these poles, one of the different devices attached for the sake of holding up the curtains of the chotzer, of the courtyard of the Mishkan. And just like those devices didn't change their form, so too the letters, like the letter Vav, did not change its form. V'yoymer v'hayudim kiksovim v'chulshonam. And in Megillas Esther, it says that pasuk ma lishoinam lo nishtana, just like their language didn't change, af ksovam lo nishtana, so too their script did not change. If that be the case, elamani mekayim es mishnah hatorah hazos. So what is to be understood from the pasuk that's written by a king, mishnah hatorah hazos? This expression we saw darshined above on the fourth line from the top of this page. It says Ksav Haroi Lishtanos, meaning a language that could undergo change. According to this opinion, we're saying this language doesn't undergo any change. So what does Mishnah HaTorah mean, if not from the word Mishaneh, something changing? Answer is, it doesn't come from that word. Rather, it's based on the word two, like Shnayim. Lishtei Toros, two Torah scrolls. Achas shiyotze v'nichneses imoi, one that accompanies the king when he goes out and re-enters. V'achas shimrachas lo v'eis genozov, and one that's in his treasury. Oise shiyotze v'nichneses imo, the Torah scroll that accompanies him at all times. Oise isot kemin kemea, it is made like an amulet, meaning something very small. It's a small Torah scroll, a very small, fine script enabling it to be small. V'teilu b'zroi, and it's attached to his arm. Shneamar shivisi Hashem l'negdi somid, as the pasuk indicates that I will place Hashem opposite me at all times. And Rashi points out across from here, shivisi Hashem l'negdi seifei dekra ki mimini bal emoit, and the end of the pasuk says the seifei dekra, the end of the pasuk, from my right ki mimini bal emoit, I will not collapse. I will not wither away. David HaMelech, al shem sefer Torah shebizro omar. David HaMelech says this pasuk as a reference to the Sefer Torah, that my strength and my support comes through the Torah that is with me at all times. So, and according to this opinion, it's not just an analogy or a parable. It's quite literal. The Torah is with him and attached to him at all times, because it's created, it's prepared in a very small, compact fashion. The Idoch Hai Shivisi Maidorish Bay, the other opinion that we saw above, understood Mishnah HaTorah in a different way. What does he do with this pasuk? That the Torah that we took here in this, according to this last approach, to mean that the Torah is with him at all times. Hahu Miboyale Kidur Rav Chana Bar Bizna. He uses it for the Rav Chana teaching. The Omar Rav Chana Bar Bizna, Rav Shimon Chasida, Hamispalasor Shira Atzmo Kidu Shchina Kenegdoi. That one who is davening should be able, should envision as if the divine presence is in his, is opposite him. Shenemar Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Samad. That I place Hashem in front of me at all times. The Reb Shimon, the Omar Ksav Zeh Loi Nishtana. According to Reb Shimon, we saw the last opinion of Shimon Lozer, who says that this, that the script did not undergo any change. My lo kolin ksav lemikra. Why is it that in the time of Daniel were they unable to decipher the script? It was script that was supposedly familiar to them, according to Reb Shimon's approach. Omar Rav, Begematria Ichtav Lahon. The reason they were unable to decipher wasn't a function of the letters themselves, but it was a function of the order in which the letters appeared. They appeared in a jumbled up, in a coded form. Gematria we can understand here to mean a coded form. And the Gemara now will present different approaches to that. Hence we have provided numbers in the Gemara. We'll see 1 through 4. And as we glance at the outside margin, we notice the Nosei Mivneh heading, namely the topic and structural note. We notice a double underline. This is one of our series markings. We'll notice four deos, four opinions. Bameh hoyo kosuv al hakir b'maiseh im bal shetzer hamelech b'mei Daniel. What was written on the wall? We refer to the handwriting on the wall where an angel came and compose letters on the wall in the time of King Belshazzar, in the time of Daniel. So we start with the first opinion. This is the opinion of Rav, and the following words don't make any sense in and of themselves unless you do a letter conversion. So we see here Yatis Yatis Idoch Pughamt. And to understand that according to Rav, we understand this in the Atbash form, namely that the correct letter in terms of understanding is a letter that's positioned in the opposite the letters that we see here. For example, Atbash is an abbreviation referring to Aleph Tof Beit Shin, so that if you were to see a Tof printed, you would understand it as if it were an Aleph, being that the Tuf is in the last position and the Aleph is in the first position. They're interchangeable. Similarly, if you were to see a Shin in printed, you would understand the Shin to be a Beis. Just like the Shin is the second to last letter, the Beis is the second letter from the beginning, and on and so forth. So the code goes, so that as you work your way in from the extremes, the letters in each respective position are interchangeable. So these letters, as we see here, are to be understood or to be interpreted into different words. In other words, the word yatis is, well, we'll see very shortly in the Gemara. The Gemara says, my parish lehu. What did Daniel explain to them? How are these words explained? And it is as follows. Mona, mona, takil uparsin. These words indicate something was weighed and measured and then broken. And the Gemara will explain the meaning behind that. Mona, mona eloka malchusach means HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he weighed, measured your kingdom. Referring to the King Belshazzar. Tokil, which was the next word needing explanation. Takilta b'maznei, he weighed your kingdom in his scales. Vishtakas chosir, and it's found to be lacking. And then the word parsin, which we see here in the parentheses, well, that's also a word that needs explanation. Is prisas mahusach, that your kingdom is going to be divided via hivas lemodai oparas, and part given to modai and part given to paras, the successive kingdoms that will take over your kingdom. We look in the Rashi uparsin shte prisas mashma, two pieces. Vazuhi prisas mahuso, the Ahivis, Lamodai Oparas, the breaking of your kingdom and the giving of it to these two nations, Modai and Poras. Continuing in the Gemara, the second approach to what was on the wall, Ushmuel Omar, these three letter groupings were on the wall with the same understanding as we explained before, Mono Mono Takul Parsin, how one will see it from here. Well, we look at these groupings, Mamtois Nankefi Aalrin, and for the sake of simplicity, let's just look at the simplest example. Take the first letters of each word grouping. So you see a mem, and then a nun, and an aleph. Those equal the word mona. If you take the second letter of each word grouping, you'll see again mona, and so forth. Rabbi Yochanan Omar, he says the following four letter groupings, and these are pretty easy to decipher. If they saw on the wall, anam, anam, lakas, nisrafu, and if you just take each letter grouping and read it backwards, you see the first letter grouping, the last letter is a mem. So read it backwards, you get mona, and so forth. Reb Ashi Omar, what they saw on the wall was noma noma katu pursin, it's in effect a word jumble. So the first word, just using that as an example, you see the second letter is a mem, that's really the first letter of the correct word, mona. And continuing on, you see the same phenomenon, mona mona, taku u parsin. We continue with more halachas concerning kings. Ein rochven al suso, we are not allowed to ride on his horse. Ein yoshven al kiso, nor to sit on his throne. Ein mishtamshin b'sharbito, nor to use his scepter. Ein royin oiso, and one should not behold the king, to look at him, to gaze upon him, kishu mistapir, when he takes a haircut. Velo kishu orum, nor when he is unclothed. Velo kishu beveis hamerchots, nor when he is in the bathhouse. Shenemar. The reasoning behind these restrictions is as follows, as the pasuk indicates, Som tosim alecha melech, which means shete emosu alecha, that his fear should be upon you. And hence, seeing the king in these different positions or states of being would reduce the level of emo, of fear that he would cast upon his subjects. Amar Yaakov, Amar Yochanan. Before we continue in the sugya, we've entitled the sugya with one word, in fact a name, Avishag. This features the woman that was provided for David HaMelech when he reached his old age and did not experience internal bodily warmth. So the psukim indicate that they provided for him a woman that would provide for him this particular lack. However, as the Gemara will reveal to us, though she was provided for him, he did not actually marry her. And this gets us into the topic of the fact that he already had the maximum number of wives allowed to a king, as we saw in previous Mishnayos. Amar Rav Yaakov, Amar Rav Yochanan, Avishag muteres l'shlomo v'asur l'adonia. She would be allowed to be with Shlomo, the king's son, the successor king. However, not allowed to to Adonia, though he is also a son of David, he was not a successor king. The Gemara explains, Muteres l'Shlomo, because the Melech Hoya, Shlomo was a king, Umelech Mishtamish Bisharbito Shamelech. A king is allowed to use the articles of the previous king. In this case, Avishag is being referred to as a type of kli belonging to his father. V'asura l'adonia, and she's forbidden to him, the head yodhu, he was a commoner. Avishag maihi, what's the background behind this story of Avishag? Tichtiv, the pasuk says, Havamelch David zaken bo bayomim, Vayomru lo avodov, yavakshu v'chule. And King David was elderly, and he, as we mentioned before, he wasn't experiencing bodily warmth, and his servants offered that we will seek out for you a girl, a woman, uksiv vayavakshu nara yofa, and they sought out a beautiful girl, the uksiv v'hanara yofa ad ma'oid, and the next passage indicates she was of exceptional beauty, v'atil melech sochenes v'teshoseo, and she provided, she was a warmth provider and served him. Omra ninsevan, Avishag offered to the king to get married. Amala asirasli, and he responded, you are forbidden to me, I already have 18 wives. Omrale, she responded to him in a rather harsh fashion with the following expression that we will explain. Chasrei leganvo nafshi l'shalma nokit. Let's glance at Rashi. Chasrei leganvo nafshi l'shalma nokit kishaganav choser sheno motzer mokim lignov, when the thief becomes unable to practice his thievery, namely he doesn't have any place to hide his stolen goods, machzik atzmoi banova, he feigns humility, ki'ish shalom, as if he were a man of peace, klomar, and the relevance of this expression to our case is, b'nei shezokanto, because you have become old, v'toshash kochacha, and because you have lost bodily strength, Ata oimer shani asur alachem. That's why you're telling me that you are forbidden to me. Omar lehu. So David says to them, he says to his those around him, and he challenges her and says, you think that I am weak and have lost bodily strength? So I will show you. Kiru li labasheva. Summon for me my wife, Basheva. Uksi vatova Basheva lamel hachadra. The Pasuk says that Basheva came to him to his inner chamber, Om Rav Yudah Marav, and the Rav Yudah Marav reveals to us, Ba'isisho kincho Basheva b'shol shesrei mapois, that Basheva, his wife, used a cleaning cloth and cleansed herself 13 times after conducting intimacy with him, with her husband, King David, certainly an indication of virility and strength, quite to the contrary of what Avishag mentioned to him. Omar of Shaman bar Abba, Boi Rei Kama Koshin Girushin. As a result of this story, we are now going to take note, as Chazal do in their very, very special, unique fashion, and talk about how difficult and how undesirable divorce is viewed. Sharei David HaMelech itiru lo liyachid, and concerning David HaMelech, they allowed him to practice that which in the time of David HaMelech they actually voted on to forbid, namely to be in a state of privacy with a single girl. This was discussed in a previous Gemara at the top of Chof Aleph Omid Beis, where the Gemara mentioned that being in private with a single girl was something that was ruled upon as a result of the incident of Amnon and Tomar, which was an incident in the time of David HaMelech. So being that it was a fairly new gzera, they relaxed that restriction of Yichud, and said, better for him to be b'yichud and not divorce his wife. Velo hitiru lo legaresh. So that showing us that even though there was a restriction, it was more important to preserve the institution of marriage than to than to have a divorce take place. And better to violate the restriction of Yichud, but maintain the marriage. Amar Rabbi Lezer. Now we notice a geometric form, and this is explained the outside margin, Nosei Mivneh. This bowtie form features memros, different sayings, Benosei HaKesher Bein Ish Lishto, regarding the relationship or the bond between husband and wife. We're going to notice a similar form, but in a dashed or broken line, bowtie, mekuvkav, delo muskar hamila ishto. In other words, the word ishto is not going to be mentioned in the subsequent comments with this bow tie form that has the broken line around it. However, it is referring to the bond between husband and wife. So as we continue in the Gemara, let us just mention by way of a prefatory remark, these comments are of a very deep sociological and psychological nature. And though in the context of our shiur, we'll basically be translating these expressions, it is very, very important by way of he who is learning this Gemara to ponder over the different ideas and to think about the deeper meaning of each expression. The Gemara continues, Ein ishto shel adam meisa elo im kei mavak shemimenu mamon v'ein loy. A person's wife dies upon him in the event that he owes money and doesn't pay up. Shenema, v'ein lecha l'shalem lomo yikach mishkovcha mitachtecha. And if you don't have the wherewithal to pay, why should it be? In other words, why do you get yourself into the position that the one that you lay with, your wife, is going to be removed from you, taken from you? This idea includes a situation where a person vows to make donations and doesn't pay up. That's a very dangerous practice. And the Gemara here reveals what the outcome could be. The Omar Rabbi Yochanan. Kol Adam she meso ishto rishono ki ilu chara besamish biyomov. A person whose first wife dies on him, it's as if the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed in his own time. Even though we may be living many years after the Beis HaMikdash is already gone, one's wife's death is paralleled to the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. Shenemar, Ben Adam, Hineni lokeach mimcho es machmad einecho b'magefo, lo tispeid, v'lo tivke, v'lo tavo dimascho. Uksiv vadaber elohom baboker vatomos ishti boerev. So far, what we have to do is keep track of the different psukim and the emphasis in the different psukim. We so far saw the word machmad emphasized, and now we see the death of his wife emphasized. Vatomos ishti boerev uksiv hineni mechalel es mikdashi gaoin uzechem machmad einechem. And in this pasuk, we see, and these psukim are all together in Sefer Yecheskel, hence we are able to draw these comparisons. We see in this pasuk the word mikdashi is juxtaposed with the word machmad, and in the two psukim before, we established that machmad was associated with one's wife. In this pasuk, we see machmad, which is an association with wife, compared to mikdash, the Beis HaMikdash. Amar of Alexandri, kol odom shemeso ishto bihamav, a person whose wife died during his lifetime, leaving him a widower. He mentions three phenomena that occur. Oilom choshech ba'ado, his world becomes dark. Shenemar ur choshach b'holov v'nero olov yidoch. Rashi points out that the word oholo is a reference to one's wife. Rabbi Yossi Bachanino Omar, psi oisov miskatros, that his steps become short and hesitating. Shenemar, and this is in the same context as the previous pasuk. This happens to be pasuk Zion, where the previous pasuk that was quoted was Vav. Here it says Yetsuru Saade Ono. Yetsuru is a lotion of becoming decreased. Saade, one steps. Rabbi Avo Omar Atsoso Nefelis. He loses counsel, loses wisdom. Shenemar Vatashlicheu Atsoso. Also in the same section of Psukim. Omar Rabo Barbachan Rav Yochanan, Koshe Lizavgom Kekriyas Yamsuf. When dealing with the entrance into marriage, the Rav Yochanan comments that it's as difficult to wed a couple, to find a match, as it was to split the sea. Shenemar Elokim Moishiv Yechidim Beso Motzi Asirim B'Koysho Rois. The Moshev Yechid and Beisah is taking two single people and joining them to form a house. Motzi Asirim B'Koshos is a reference to the Motzi, is the taking out of the Jewish people in the month of Nisan. The Gemara asks on this particular comment, how can you say that it's it's a matter that's so difficult, as is expressed, kosher lizavkom ve'eni is that so v'amar Rav Yehuda Marav arboim yom keli mitzirus havlad bas kol yoitzis ve'imeres bas ploni leploni, that 40 days before a fetus is formed, a heavenly voice announces the upcoming marriage of the following girl to the following boy. In other words, it's something that's already heavenly ordained. How can you say that it's something that's difficult to accomplish? Lo kashya, ha bezivug rishon, ha bezivug sheni. As far as our translation is concerned, we're going to be keeping this on a very simplistic level, but it must be emphasized that there is much, much more depth than that which is being said right now. Zivug Rishon, concerning the first union, first mating, possibly the first marriage, that's the Arboim Yom Kodi Mitzvah Savlah, that's what's considered heavenly ordained and announced ahead of time. Ha Bezivug Sheni, the second round, second marriage, second union, that is considered kosher lezavlam kikriyas yamsuf. Omar Rav Shmuel Bar Nachman, l'kol yesh tmura, everything in life has its replacement. Chutz mi eishes ne'urim, with the exception of one's wife of his youth. Shenemar vi eishes ne'urim ki simo es. Masni lo Rav Yehuda Rav Yisrael Berei. Rav Yehuda was teaching his son, Rav Yitzchok, the following: Ein odo moitzei kiras ruach elo meishto rishona. A person does not find fulfillment other than through his first wife. Shenemar, yehi mekor chaboruch usmach meishes neurecha. That joy comes from the wife of one's youth. Omar lo kigon man. Rav Yitzchok, his son, asked, "Who's an example of that?" Omar lo kigon imcha. So his father says, someone like your mother. That your mother is the wife of my youth, and I have such great pleasure and joy from being with her. The Gemara asks, Eini, is that so, that they had such a wonderful relationship? V'ha makri le Rav Yehuda le Rav Yitzchok Berei. We know on another occasion, Rav Yehuda teaches this same son, Rav Yitzchok, Umotze ani mar mimoes eso isha asher hi mitzudim v'charamim. I find that which is more bitter than death, that which is like traps and nets. The Omar lo, and Rabbi Yitzchok asked his father, Kigon man, can you give me an example of that type of husband-wife relationship where the wife is more bitter than death? The Omar lo, and Rabbi Yehuda, his father, answered, Kigon imcho, like your mom. So how can just a moment before the Gemara present that as being such an illustrious marriage when you see him describing his own wife as more bitter than death? The Gemara answers that both are true. In other words, you have one woman that provided great joy, and at the same time, the opposite. Mitkaf tekifa, meaning she seemed to be very quick to wrath. Ivure ma'avro b'mila. Simply translated, it would be that she's quieted or assuaged through a simple word. Rashi, though, offers an explanation on a slightly deeper level, and he says, Ma'averes al midoseha, that she is someone that is able to overcome her natural tendencies. In other words, she's a woman that is, if she is naturally has a certain type of negative quality, she overcomes that. She's a forgiving type of woman, if you will. Amar Shmuel bar Unya mishmei derav. We have more comments. As you can see, the same bow tie form is being continued here from Omer Aleph. Isha, a woman, is goylom hi ve'eno kareses bris olami shasa kli. The term goylom means a vessel that is not completely formed. It's a vessel in its production state, and any vessel before it's completed is this term is used for, the term goylom. And she doesn't, this comment made in name of Rav says, she doesn't create a bond other than through the man that forms her into a vessel. And the idea might be understood as the woman with whom she marries and experiences intimacy in the context of marriage, that is the man with whom she creates her bond. And that's her completion, so to speak. As we mentioned before, these ideas are on a very deep level, and in the context of these recorded shiurim, we are certainly not going to expound upon them. However, the ramifications that this has toward an immoral society are very, very great. The concept of the woman and the sanctity of her body and the preservation of that sanctity and reserving it for her Torah-bound mate, namely the one through whom she marries following the true teachings of Moshe the Israel, as we say in the marriage ceremony, Hareini Mekudeshes Loch Kedas Moshe v'Yisrael, this concept of a marital bond under the rubric of the Torah is very clearly being referred to here when we talk about the completion of the woman and the forming of a bond with that man and only that man that enters the matrimonial bond following the Torah precepts. The comment made by Rav was that she makes her bond only with the man that forms her into the vessel, and that's quite illustrative, as we already made some reference. The Pasuk says, Shenema ki bo alayach osayach Hashem tzvokei shemoi. The bo alayach is a term referred to intimacy, and osayach is to be formed. Tona, ein ish meis elo liishto. A person, a man, when he dies, his death is experienced primarily by his wife. The ein isha meisa elo labayla. And likewise, a woman's demise is experienced only or primarily by her husband. And this is explained. Ein ish meis elo liishto. When a man dies, the one who really feels it is his wife. Shenemar vayomos Elimelech ish Naomi. When Elimelech died, he died, and he was described as the husband of Naomi, indicating that she is the one that felt the real loss. The ein isha mesa lebaila, and similarly, the woman's passing is felt primarily by her husband. Shenemar v'ani bevoi mipadon mesa olai Rochel. That her death was experienced by me, says Yankev Ovinu. Ein royin oisoi v'chulei. The Mishnah mentioned that one should not behold a king when he is taking a haircut, amongst other things, and that leads the Gemara into a discussion, a rather lengthy discussion, that continues to the very end of the page, the end of the perek, which focuses on the broad topic of haircuts. On the outside margin, we've indicated the nosei, tisporis, aleph melech, beis kohen gadol, and gimel kohen hedyot. We've indicated that also the different individuals through our marking using the diamond series indicator. The Gemara continues, Ton Rabbanan, melech mistapir b'chol yom, a king literally, it says, takes a haircut every day. We're going to qualify the expression taking a haircut quite a bit more as we go into the Gemara, and we'll try to interpret it as hair care as opposed to a full-blown haircut in the simple razor scissors form. Secondly, Kohen Gadol, Me'erev Shabbos, Erev Shabbos, a Kohen Gadol has his hair treatment once a week, and specifically on Friday of every week, Kohen Hedyot Echad L'Shloshim Yom, and the regular Kohen once every 30 days. Melech mistaber b'chol yom shenemar melech b'yofio sechazen einecha. How do we know that a king's haircut is a hair treatment is every day? Because the pasuk indicates that a melech b'yofio, in his beauty, he is to be beheld, so that he has to always look his absolute best at all times. Hence, he undergoes a hair treatment every day. Kohen gadol mer of Shabbos. Why is that? Amar Rav Shmuel bar Nachman, Amar Rav Yochanan, Hoyo u'mishmaros mischachos. Since the weekly Kohen service groups change every week, in other words, the Kohen families from all across Eretz Yisrael would come to the Beis HaMikdash every week, a new mishmar, a group of families would come and serve. And when they came, it was important that they come and see the Kohen Gadol looking his best. Hence, Erev Shabbos, in order to greet the new Mishmar, he would go through his hair treatment. Kohen Hedyot Echol L'Sholshem Yom, Dechtiv, V'Roshom Lo Yigalechu, U'Pera Lo Yishalechu, Kosoim Yiksemu Es Roshehem. This is a pasuk found in Sefer Yecheskel, and we're mentioning that fact as it will be important later in the Gemara. The pasuk says that there, referring to the Kohanim, that Pera lo yishalechu, and the Gemara explains v'yolef Pera, Pera minozir, and with word association, with a type of gzera shava, we learn the meaning or the significance of the word Pera from the institution known as the nozir. K'siv hocha Pera lo yishalechu, here in the context of the Kohanim, it says that Pera, they should not, yishalechu, they should not grow. Uksiv Hosam, in the case of a Nazir, it says, Gadel Pera Se'ar Roishoi. A Nazir is someone who restricts himself from drinking wine, as is well known, ritually contaminating himself through exposure to the dead, Tumas Meis, and also haircut restrictions. And we understand as follows, Ma Lahalon Shloshim, just like in the case of the Nozir, the haircut restriction is a 30-day restriction. Af Kan, in the case of the Kohen Hedyot, Shloshim, it's also a function of a 30-day situation. U Tnan Nami Stam Nazir Shloshim Yom, and the Mishnah also indicates that an unqualified Nazirus, namely where a person doesn't say how long he wants to be a Nazir, he says simply he wants to be a Nazir, that is understood to be as a 30-day period. The Hasam in Olan, and in the case of Nazir, how does one know that it is a 30-day period? Omar of Matan, Omar Akra, the Pasuk says, Kodesh Yeh, Begematria, the word Yihyeh, which we've underlined because that's the word we're focusing on, in number equivalency equals talsin havu, equals 30. So we know from the case of the Nozir that his Nozir period, and hence haircut restriction, is a 30-day period. At the end of the 30 days, in fact, he takes a haircut. So too in the case of the Kohen Hedyot, that he is obligated to have a haircut at the have hair care after a 30-day period. Omar le Rav Papa Labaye, Emo lo lirbu klal. Maybe in the case of the Kohen Hedyot, he shouldn't be allowed to have it grow even up till 30 days. What we're saying right now, before this question, we're saying he's allowed to have 30-day hair growth, but no more than that when it comes to matters of the Beis HaMikdash. Maybe what is suggested, he should not have any hair growth. He should be taking a haircut even before the 30-day period. Omar le, iksiv lo yishalchu pera. If the pasuk would have stated itself thusly, then kidakarmas, I would agree with you. Hashtel tiv upera. The pasuk says, as we saw before, and you can use the asterisk we provided in the space, the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text, and find a parallel asterisk, and you'll find that a few lines just before it gets Y. Pasuk said, "V'roishem lo yigalechu upera lo yishalechu." Since it says upera and then lo yishalechu, the understanding is as follows: pera lehevei. It can be para, and we proved before that the word para indicated 30 days of growth. Shluchi lo lishluchu, but it should not exceed 30 days. Therefore, the Kohen Hedyot is expected to take a haircut every or hair treatment every 30 days. I emphasize the word hair treatment. We will see the significance of that later in the Gemara. The Gemara asks, "Ihachi ho'idno nami?" Nowadays, all kohanim should be makbid, should be concerned and care for their hair every 30 days. Even though there's no Beis HaMikdash, that should be the case. They should be mitzvah and have this restriction. So the Gemara answers, Dumya D'yayin. The way we treat the issue of the hair is the way we deal with the issue of wine. Before we go on, let us take a look at some of the explanations as far as the markings are concerned. We have a topic heading in the outside margin, no say, Kohen Bizman Hazeh, the issue of the Kohen nowadays, Aleph Bishtias Yayin, with regard to wine consumption, and Beis Bechiyuv Tisparos, secondly, concerning the hair treatment. As far as the structure of the Gemara is concerned, we notice we have a Mivneh, and we indicated Bizman Hazeh, we have a triangle indicating Yayin V'Seor Shavim Midoraisa, with the regular triangle we're indicating the similarity between wine and hair on a Torah level, and we will see a triangle later with a colored in tip, Shnei Hevdelim Bein Yayin V'Seor Midorabonan. This features two differences between wine and hair on a rabbinic level. So with the triangles we will see the attempts at comparing and contrasting the issues of hair and wine. So as we continue in the Gemara, the question was raised, why nowadays do we not treat the issue of Kohen hair treatment with severity? The Gemara answers, Dumya D'yayin, Ma Yayin Bizman Biyahu De'Osir Shelo Bizman Biyashari, just like with regard to wine, the wine restriction on the part of Kohanim is in effect when the Beis HaMikdash is around. That's Bizman Bia, the time of where entrance is a possibility. The Pasuk says, V'yayin lo yishtu bevoy om, says that they shall not drink wine when they enter the Beis HaMikdash. When, however, there is no option of entering the Beis HaMikdash, so there is no wine restriction. The Gemara continues, Af prue rosh, Bizman Bia Osir, Shalom Bizman Bia Shari. Only when entrance to the Beis HaMikdash is a reality is there a hair treatment requirement. Shalom Bizman Bia, in a situation like nowadays where there is no entrance option, it is not, there is no hair treatment restriction. Notice with our markings we underline the expression Ma Yayin and the expression Pure Rosh to emphasize the comparison between these two elements. More asks a question. This question will last several lines. You can see that by the long question indicator to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text, the kuf that's encircled with a dashed vertical line. The Gemara asks, V'yayin shelo bizman v'yashari, is that so that wine consumption nowadays on the part of Kohanim is allowed? V'ha tanya. We have a Tanaic source. Rebbe Omer. Omer ani, koyanim asur lishtos yayin lo'ilom. I am of the opinion that Kohanim ought to be prohibited from drinking wine forever. Avo ma e'ese shetakonoson kilkeloson. But what can I do whereby their salvation is through kilkol, is through destruction. Rashi explains a few lines up from here, Aval Ma'ase Shetakonosan Kilkalosan, Hurban Habayas, the destruction of the temple, Shekilkilon, Virbev, Seder Mishmarosam, that as a result of that, the service time period for every Kohen became confused. She Oisron V'yayin Bizman Mishmartan, Umatim Shel Bizman Mishmartan, the service week during which a Kohen, a specific Kohen, was supposed to serve, that was the time that he actually had this wine restriction. Because the pasuk that we read before, when we mentioned in the Gemara, and we mentioned the pasuk V'yayin lo yishtu bevoim, a few lines up, that they shall not drink wine upon their entrance. That's a reference to the week during which they serve in the Beis HaMikdash. That is the time that they have this wine restriction. And if they're not present in the Beis HaMikdash, namely it's not their service week, they are allowed to drink wine. The Rashi continues, he tiknon achshav lishtos yain le'olam. The fact that the time of their service has become confused and unknown, that allows them now to drink wine at all times. The lochay shema yibone pisam, because this opinion, namely Rebbe's opinion, is that we are not taking into consideration the possibility of the Beis HaMikdash being built immediately, and the kohen having to be on call at any given moment. Let's continue, though. We just read Rebbe's opinion that said that Bizman Azeh, even though I thought that maybe Kohanim should be restricted, but nevertheless you have this factor called Takonoson Kilkoloson, that their salvation is through the Churban, and hence they can drink wine at all times. The Omer Abaye, Keman Shosi Cham Kohani Cham Rohidno, and Abaye comments, based on whose opinion is it that Kohanim drink wine nowadays? Ke Rebbe, based on Rebbe, like we just saw. However, from our perspective, Michlal de Rabbonan Asri, we can infer that it's only Rebbe that allows the Kohanim to drink wine Bizman Azeh, but the Rabbonan, the majority opinion, would actually forbid Kohanim from wine Bizman Azeh. So let us note with our dashed underline that we have here, Michlal de Rabbonan Asri, and we had a few lines up, we dashed underline the question that Ihochi o Idnonami, that nowadays the Gemara had asked there should be some type of hair treatment concern, and the Gemara attempted to answer, well, we treat hair like wine, just like wine is mutter bizman azeh, but therefore, just like wine is mutter, so too hair care has no restrictions. But we just asked that whole concept of wine being allowed bizman azeh, that's only Rebbe's opinion, but according to the Rabbanan, wine itself does carry with it restrictions even bizman azeh, even nowadays. And if that be the case, then hair restriction, namely hair care every 30 days, should also be in practice according to the Rabbanan. So the Gemara answers, nevertheless, we must still make a contrast. Hosam, in the case of wine, hainu taimo, why is it that the Rabbanan hold nowadays there is a wine restriction? Mehero ibona beis hamikdash ubo inon kain haroi la'avoda v'leka. They take into consideration that maybe the beis hamikdash will be rebuilt and at any moment, and any given coin has to be on call to serve immediately. And if he drinks wine, he won't be able to serve. The Gemara asks, well, if that be the case, so hachinami bulino koin aroi lavoda v'leka, so too with the case of hair treatment, we should have the same level of concern and impose the restriction or the requirement of hair care every 30 days. Why is it that with regard to wine, would the Rabbonin be restrictive, and the case of hair not restrictive? More answers. Hocha efsher the misaper v'ayel. Hosom, said Morris, says, but in the case of hair, he can take a haircut instantly and serve. So that even if he hasn't practiced hair care every 30 days, in the event that the Beis HaMikdash is built immediately, he can handle that problem with immediacy. So the Gemara asks, Hosom nami efsher denai import of ayel. The Omer of Acha derech mil v'shino kolshu mefigin es hayayin. So too in the case of wine, let us allow him to drink wine bizman azeh, and in the event that the Beis HaMikdash is built immediately, he can take a little nap. That's what the expression nayim porta, sleep a little bit. After the little nap, get up and serve in the Beis HaMikdash that was just rebuilt. We've also emphasized the expression mefigin es hayayin, that the sleep has the effect of taking care of the negative effects of the wine. So the question then is, why is it that the Chachamim, the rabbinic opinion, as opposed to Rebbe, why is it that they restrict Kohanim from drinking wine, Bizman Azeh? So the Gemara answers, V'lav Itmar Alo, was it not stated concerning this topic, Om Rav Nachman Om Rav Avua, Lo Shanu El Sheshoso Kedei Revius? This concept, or this practice of a little walk, derech mil, a walk of a kilometer, and a little nap, reduce the effects of the wine, that is only if he drank a mere revius, a rather small quantity of wine, a few ounces of wine. Aval yoiser mechde revius, if he drank any more than that, then these effects will, if anything, accentuate the effects of the wine. Kol shekein derech toradoso v'shino mashar kroso. The walk will confound him, and the sleep will only enhance his state of intoxication. As a result of this particular approach, we see a difference between the hair and the wine. The hair having immediate solution in the case of the Beis HaMikdash is rebuilt. However, wine not having that immediate solution. Ravashi Omar, Shtui Yain de Machli Avoda, Gozug Rabbonan. Ravashi's distinction between wine and hair is that Shtui Yain, drinking wine, has the effect of profaning the service in the Beis HaMikdash. Namely, if a Kohen is in a state of intoxication and serves the Beis HaMikdash, he would mechalel the avoda, render it profane. Prue rosh, the lo machli avoda, lo goes rabbanon. However, unkempt hair, uncared for hair, in the event that he serves in the Beis HaMikdash, that would not have the effect, according to Ravashi, of profaning the temple service, and as a result of that, the Rabbanan did not impose a restriction that Bizman Hazeh, in anticipation of the immediate rebuilding, that there should be any need to have a 30-day hair care requirement. At this point, the Gemara raises a question, Meisvei, challenge to Rav Ashi. We will take full advantage of this, of our marvelous marking system, whereby to appreciate the Meisvei, first of all, we see a bracketed section, and the length of the bracketed section is seen, instead of searching for the closing of this particular bracket, notice to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text, we have a dashed vertical dotted line. The end of that vertical dashed dotted line, you see on that particular line, the closing of the bracket. Ravashi just said that Prue Resh lo machli avoda. We read Meisvei, skip the bracketed section, and what do you see? Av Prue Resh de machli avoda. Kashya. As a result of this question, we will see a challenge to Ravashi's position, where the conclusion will be that Prue Resh are machalo avoda. Unlike Ravashi, and hence the Gemara concludes simply with Kashya, this is a difficulty. After having presented the basic question, we now look into the Gemara text itself to see how the question develops. Meisvei, v'elu shebemisa prue rosh ushtuye yayin. This is a Tanaic source indicating there are those that are guilty of death, and those would include the kohen that serves in the Beis HaMikdash with uncared for hair and intoxicated as a result of consuming wine. I understand very well that is bemisa, that's subject to the death penalty. Death penalty in this case could be death at the hands of heaven, but a form of misa all the same. The posuk in Vayikra says, do not drink wine and thereby save oneself from death. Ella prue rosh menon. From where do we know that uncared for hair also could result in misa? Answer, de iskash du yayin de prue rosh, we see a comparison between these two elements. Ksiv, on the one hand, it says, in Sefer Yecheskel, it says, v'rosham lo yigalechu pera lo yishalechu, uksiv basrei, and on the other hand, or in addition, continuing, when you continue in the psukim, it says, v'yayin lo yishtu, and they shall not consume wine. Ma shtu yayin b'misa, just like we know from the posuk in Vayikra, that shtu yayin, that being inebriated, is a cause for misa, af prue rosh, so too prue rosh, which is positioned next to the yayin in posuk in Yecheskel, is bemisa. Umino, and from that comparison we come to the next comparison. Ma shtuya yayin de machli avoda, just like service under the influence of wine profanes the temple service, and that is known from sources. Ah, prue rosh de machli avoda. So too, uncared for hair, on the part of a Kohen who serves in the Beis HaMikdash is Mechalel the Avodah. It profanes the service. And that's unlike Rav Ashi, Kashya. This remains a difficulty to Rav Ashi's point. Namely, he tried to make a contrast between Shtui and Pru'e Rosh. That attempt would run into difficulty at this point. Amalei Ravina le Rav Ashi. Hi. This point, namely the comparison between wine and hair with its resultant conclusions, Adelo Asi Yecheskel Man Omra, until Yecheskel came in, because we saw hair compared to wine only in a pasuk in Yecheskel. Yecheskel was a figure that lived at the end of Bayis Rishon. How was that comparison known before Yecheskel came around? This was a question posed to Rav Ashi. Rav Ashi responds as follows: Ulotamech, according to you that are asking, how would you have known that before Yecheskel? What about the following? Before we continue in the Gemara, let's just look at the outside margin, the nosei, the topic we're dealing with. Halachos and Hizkaros with Sefer Yecheskel. Different halachos, different rules or laws that are taught in Sefer Yecheskel. Ech yodu oisam lefonav. How were they known before Yecheskel came around? And that's what Rav Ashi poses as a challenge back to Ravina. Ulitamei chod yom Rav Chisda, davar zeh. And we should also note before we continue, this is part of a long answer. This will last several lines, and you can see the length of this by glancing at the space, the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text. You notice an encircled tuff with a dashed vertical line. All of these lines are dedicated to Rav Ashi's response. So Rav Ashi says, according to you, chod yom Rav Chisda, that which Rav Chisda taught, that a Kohen who is uncircumcised is prohibited from serving in the Beis HaMikdash. Dovar zeh, mitoras Moshe Rabbeinu lo lamanu ad shebo Yecheskel vilimdunu. This point, the uncircumcised Kohen as being invalid for service in the Beis HaMikdash, is a point not known from the Torah text given by Moshe until we see a text in Yecheskel. And in that text, he taught us, Kol ben nechor orel lev v'orel baser lo yovel el mikdashi l'shoseni. And in that pasuk, you notice the expression orel baser, which is a reference to the uncircumcised. And it says here that he shall not come to the Beis HaMikdash to serve me. Ad lo bo Yecheskel man omrav, and before Yecheskel came around, whoever taught that? And it's a very well-known principle in halacha that the prophets, later prophets, namely those who followed Moshe Rabbeinu, never invented some kind of new law on their own. So this being a law, namely the uncircumcised Kohen being prohibited from serving the Beis HaMikdash, how was it known before that we see the text of Yecheskel? You'll have to say that it was some type of oral tradition that was passed down from the Zman of the giving of the Torah, from the time of the receipt of the Torah on Mount Sinai, simply passed down as an oral tradition, and Yecheskel committed it to writing. Hachinami, so too with regard to Pru'e Rosh Bemisa, that the uncared for Kohen who serves in the Beis HaMikdash is Chayav Misa. Gemora Gemiri Law, that point is an oral tradition. So Yecheskel v'asmacha akra, and it came along Yecheskel and provided a basis for that in a textual form. As we go on in the Gemara, we'll take note of the little arrow to the immediate right hand side of the Gemara. This calls our attention to searching for a parallel arrow earlier. The parallel arrow is found on the last of the narrow lines of the Gemara above, where the Gemara cited a pasuk in Yecheskel indicating Kohen Hedyot has to have hair care every 30 days. In that pasuk it said, Kosom Yiksim Les Roshehem. Here the Gemara asks, My Kosom Yiksim Les Roshehem. What is meant by that phrase? Tana, Kemin Tisporus Lulyanis. The Tanaic source says that the pasuk is referring to a type of hair care called Lulyanis, the Lulyanis hairdo. My Tisporus Lulyanis. What is that? Om Rav Yudah Marav, Tisporus Yechida. A unique, beautiful hairdo. Beautiful and unparalleled. Hey Chidomi, and what is its nature? Om Rav Ashi, Roshel Shelzeh, Betzadi Koro Shelzeh. It's a type of hair care where the tip of one hair is bent over and preserved in that form to the base of a neighboring hair. And this was done for every hair on the head. What's interesting to note is that this particular pasuk is a pasuk from which we learned halachas concerning the kohen hedyot, the common kohen. The continuation of the Gemara features as the focus of our attention the kohen gadol. Shalu es Rebbe, ezu tisporas shel kohen gadol. What is the nature of the kohen gadol haircut? Amalehen. So Rebbe answered. One picture is worth a thousand words. He says, "Amar lehen tsuru mitispershel ben Elosha." Go take a look at Ben Elosha's haircut or hairdo. Tanya, Rebbe Omer lo al chinam pizir Ben Elosha's moisav elakidei laharus boi tispershel kohen gadol. Ben Elosha, who was Rebbe's son-in-law, spent a lot of money, and the Rashi says at the end of the page, Ben Elosha chasono shereb hoyav venasan momon velimdu lo oisa tisporas, and they taught him that haircut or that hairdo. So if, from the simple reading of the Gemara, it would seem that either Ben Elosha himself had such a hairdo, or he was able to perform this hair treatment to others. And Rebbe said, if you want to see what the Kohen Gadol's haircut or hairdo looked like, then take a look at the approach that was associated with Ben Elosha, my son-in-law. It's quite obvious from this Gemara that one can rule out that the haircut was some kind of crew cut or balding with a razor treatment. That wouldn't cost very much money. But rather, if it were a treatment like was described just before, namely the touching of every hair to its neighboring hair's follicle and preserving it in that fashion, that could be a very expensive undertaking. For further details, we could certainly hope all the more for the coming of the Beis Hamikdash b'mehirah b'yameinu. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.